Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into Philip Morris International's second quarter 2026 results, and there's a lot going on here, including a CFO transition. But first, the standard stuff. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, and PMI gave us plenty to unpack. Let's start with the headline numbers, because they were strong.
Very strong. Organic net revenue growth of plus 8% for the quarter, operating income up plus 11%, and adjusted diluted EPS hit $2.20. That's plus 14% currency neutral, plus 15% in dollar terms. Quarterly net revenue crossed $11 billion for the first time ever.
And this wasn't just a currency tailwind story either. Outgoing CFO Emmanuel Babo flagged that about a third of the EPS beat came from a favorable tax-related currency effect tied to the Russian ruble. But two-thirds was real operating strength, better SG&A phasing, and a surprisingly strong combustible business.
Let's talk about that smoke-free business first, because it's really the engine of this whole story. Eco's adjusted in-market sales volume grew plus 5% in the quarter. That sounds almost modest until you realize it includes two known headwinds, an excise tax hike in Japan and a flavor ban in Poland.
Strip those out, and IQS growth was over 10% in second quarter, north of 11% for the first half. That's the real underlying trend. Eco's also just cracked Cantor's list of top 100 most valuable global brands. Pretty remarkable for a product that's only a decade old.
VEV, their vapor brand, had an absolutely wild quarter. Shipments up 55% in second quarter, 72% for the half. Management says it's now the number one closed pod brand in Europe and in global travel retail.
Now let's get into the U.S., because this is where investors have been the most impatient. ZYN shipments grew 2% year-over-year to 2.9 billion pouches. And importantly, that's despite lapping an inventory tailwind from last year. Sequentially versus a rough first quarter, U.S. net revenue was up 38%, gross profit up 46%.
The bigger story is the product lineup. They just launched ZYN Ultra, a lower-priced moist variant meant to close the gap with competitors, and they're bringing 1.5 and 8 milligram dry formats in third quarter. Babo was pretty clear-eyed that it's early days, just 2 weeks of data on Ultra, but the initial read and consumer feedback were encouraging.
And there's a regulatory tailwind, too. ZYN got modified risk tobacco product authorization on 20 SKUs, the only nicotine pouch product with that designation. That lets them actually market reduced-risk claims versus cigarettes, which is a real differentiator.
Here's the strategic pivot that stood out to me. Management is choosing to step up U.S. investment hard in the second half, more marketing, a new brand campaign called When It Clicks, expanded distribution, partly to build ZYN and partly to lay the groundwork for IQS Illuma's eventual U.S. launch, pending FDA action.
Which is why, despite beating estimates two quarters in a row, PMI held its full-year guidance rather than raising it. An analyst from Goldman actually pushed on this directly, and Babo basically confirmed. Yes, the flat guidance reflects the decision to plow incremental profit back into U.S. investment rather than let it drop straight to the bottom line.
Let's touch on combustibles, too, because cigarettes had a surprisingly strong quarter, shipments up 1.1%, pricing up nearly 10%. Management was upfront that this outperformance was concentrated in markets like Turkey, Indonesia, Egypt, and India, where smoke-free alternatives are banned or barely present.
They actually improved their full-year cigarette volume outlook, now expecting a 2 to 3% decline instead of 3%. But they were careful to frame this as not necessarily repeatable, tied to specific market dynamics rather than a structural change.
Japan was the other hot topic in Q&A. Eco's there saw a second quarter dip after a big April excise-driven price increase, but management framed it as playing out exactly as expected, a cultural shock from the price jump, then recovery through the quarter. Category share held in the high 60s.
And there's a forward-looking angle that got some analyst attention. Japan is shifting to smaller, more predictable excise increases from 2027 through 2029 applied evenly across cigarettes and heated tobacco. Babo suggested that's actually a friendlier setup for PMI going forward since, as the higher-priced brand, they're proportionally less impacted.
One more thing worth flagging for listeners. This was Emmanuel Babo's final earnings call as Group CFO. He's handing the role to Massimo Ondolina, currently PMI's European Regional President, starting in August.
Ondolina actually fielded a question himself on the call about IQOS momentum in Europe post-flavor bans and sounded confident the underlying growth trend hasn't really changed once you strip out Poland and Hungary.
So, stepping back, what does this mean going forward? PMI reiterated full-year guidance, organic net revenue growth of 5-7%, operating income growth of 7-9%, and currency-neutral EPS growth of 7.5-9.5%. In dollar terms, with a currency tailwind now expected, that's an EPS range of $8.26-$8.41.
The story here really is a company with more room to invest than it's choosing to spend right now. Smoke-free is compounding nicely internationally. Combustible is providing more cash cushion than expected, and they're using that flexibility to go all in on the U.S. nicotine pouch opportunity. The key thing to watch next quarter is whether Zuoyin Ultra's early momentum holds up once the first 2 weeks, honeymoon period from this call, has more data behind it.
Definitely one to watch. Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
With a new CFO stepping in and a big U.S. investment push underway, PMI's next couple of quarters should be a real test of that strategy.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.